Welcome, everyone, to our Kinetic Kid Men podcast. My name is Josh Combs, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in, whether it be you're listening to on the call tonight or onto our podcast that we post online. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, my friend Rick Crouch. Rick, go ahead and introduce our first speaker tonight.
Thank you, Josh. Tonight, we have Jerry McCool with us. The McCools pastor a thriving church in Auburn, California. Brother McCool is also the Sunday school director of the children's ministry in the Western District. The McCools have been involved in children's ministry in various ways since 1990, from basically the nursery to being the director of the children's ministry in the district. They have a strong passion and a burden for children, that basically children that have been raised under the pew to the children off the street. They have no boundaries. They love everybody, reach for everybody. They do teachers training, Holy Ghost rallies, crusades, camps, and they love to revive a burden in the hearts of teachers and future teachers. They're available on weekends, all year, and camps during the summer. Brother McCool, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Great. Well, we're excited to have you on the call. You have a very expansive ministry, extensive experience through pastoring and doing children's ministry. So my first question is this: what role does children's ministry have in church growth?
Well, of course, as a children's evangelist, I am biased with that question. I can see that children's ministry is a passion of the Lord. In reading the scriptures, we can find that children's ministry was close to the heart of the Lord, and so I believe that it's close to the heart of every pastor. Pastors support children's ministry, but it's not very often that they are able to have children's evangelists in. As a pastor, I want to have a children's ministry that's thriving. Whether I can have an evangelist in every 6 months or every year, I think it's a very, very important part of not only the church growth, but in church maintenance, maintaining a sense of energy and of strength and keeping a hold of these souls that the Lord brings into our church, whether through birth or through outreach, their souls. And I think it's a very, very important role of the pastor.
Amen. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've been pastoring now for about 9 years on staff in Chesapeake, and one of the things that I've learned as a Sunday school director and working in children's ministry is that it can create an energy. I like what you said there, and it can help us. And children's ministry in some aspects has revived me in ways that created an energy in me that I just didn't really realize I had until I started working with children. And so that is a great area for church growth, and probably one of the most valuable when you think of it in the aspect of the future of the church. Now, Brother McCool, tell us about your puppet outreach ministry and how churches can incorporate puppets effectively in reaching kids.
Well, thank you. Puppets are a tremendous asset to a children's ministry, or even to a local church. What they do for us is they provide a non-gender specific, non-ethnic specific, non-adult or child specific way of interacting with an audience. There's so many dysfunctions in our young people and children today. There's biases to the elderly, to our parents, to our grandparents, to authorities. There's biases to certain genders. There's biases toward even certain ethnicities. And a puppet has the opportunity and a unique ability to bypass every one of those biases. You can take a bird, for example, and speak to that young person, and it never comes across as a boss or an overbearing parent or even an individual that they've been hurt by before. So one of the most important things is that there's not a predisposition of an authority figure in that character. That character can come across as a friend, as an instructor, as a mentor, or as someone in the very same place that that child finds himself in. That is invaluable. That's what a parent, a pastor, or any leader wants, is to gain influence and break down those barriers. And a puppet allows us to do that immediately. Another thing that a puppet can help us do is it can move us into places where we wouldn't likely have an opportunity to go. A puppet, it attracts attention. It's unique. When done well, it's very entertaining, and ultimately, it's informative. I believe in the puppet ministry. I think that puppets are far overlooked when it comes to their effectiveness. We're even using puppets in our public schools. It's incredible. It's really awesome. I believe in puppets.
So you said you're using puppets in the public schools?
As a matter of fact, just this year, we've been working on it for a couple of years, for last year, and this year we got a sponsorship from the Rotary Club of Daybreak Auburn in our 5190 district here in Auburn, California, that has sponsored us with a Rotary grant of $2,000 to go into our public school with our puppets and to teach on fire safety. So we take our puppets, our team, into the public school, and we teach on fire safety. You say, well, you know, how is that helping the church? Well, you know, a better answer to that would be, how is this helping our community? It's helping our community in very definite ways. It's really helped the ministry gain recognition in the community through the Rotary Club, the fire department, the public safety. And just the other day, I was at a kids' Funfinity, which is a place we have in town here where they have trampolines and mazes and games and so on and so forth. And I was watching two children play, and they both looked up and they say, hey, I know you. You brought Artie to our school in fire safety. That is incredible. We were allowed the privilege of speaking to three-quarters of the children in grade school. That's from the ages of 5 all the way up to, I would guess, somewhere in the 6th grade. Every one of those students in these 5 schools, we were privileged to go in and address. Phenomenal. Then we took it a step further. The Boys and Girls Club of Auburn, they said, you know what, we'd love to have you guys back this year. We went last year, did the program. This year I said, you know, I know that there's a serious problem with bullying. Do you find that to be a problem? And they said, absolutely. I said, I'd like to pilot a program where we talk about bullying. Would that be okay? She said, we would love that. So we did just that. We moved from fire prevention into a session on bullying. We were able to talk about kindness and doing unto others as you would have them do to you. That's absolutely amazing. Now we can build on those character things, which is closer to the heart of a pastor and a parent. Very exciting.
Wow, that is very exciting. And it opened up a door into the community and gave you a connection for your church and for yourself and your ministry. So that is awesome. It's out of that kind of out of the box thinking that allows us to move into areas that we would never move in and operate in before. So that's an awesome way that you've allowed God to use you. Brother McCool, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you to invite you out for children's ministry, or if they want you to do teachers training or talk about children's ministry outreach, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, the best way to get in touch with me would be through my email. My email is simply jerrymccool@yahoo.com. That's jerrymccool@yahoo.com. That's the best way. One more thing, speaking about the Boys and Girls Club and the way it's brought us into the community, I think it's imperative that I add this one comment. We are in the process of shifting the paradigm as the public views the church in my city. They have always understood the church is someone that wants to convert you. They want to change you. So in this city, the churches don't get involved with anything unless they can promote their own services, their own vacation Bible schools or whatever. When I moved through the city and I told the city, when I told the Boys and Girls Club, I'm not here to invite people to the church. I am here to help you reach our community's kids. They need to be safe. I want to join with you to help our kids be safe. They were absolutely shocked they said, "You mean you're not going to ask them to come to church, or you're not going to tell?" I said, "No, of course I'd love for them to come, but this is your event. This is what you want to see take place, and I would be happy just to be a part of this. I love these kids too. I want to see them saved." When we took that approach, the doors to our city flew wide open. The next year we went out to do our Auburn Family Night Out. They told me, "You can advertise whatever you want. You can put signs and banners up for your vacation Bible school. You can have drawings. You can do whatever you want. You have absolutely free reign." That was incredible. That would have never happened had we not adopted that approach that says, "I am a pastor in this church that cares about our children. How can I join with you to help them be saved?" And it worked. God opened the doors, and I thank the Lord for it.
Amen. Amen. That is so awesome. I want to thank you for being with us tonight, Brother McCool.
Thank you for
and, thank you so much for being with us. Now we're going to pass it over back to Josh Combs, and he's going to introduce our next speaker.
All right. Thank you, Rick, and thank you, Jerry. Brother McCool, thank you so much for adding your insight and your vision, sharing your vision with us. And I think that was incredible what he said about reaching out to the community first, because I think a lot of times, if I can add to that, you know, as the church, we need to realize that, you know, what we're there to do is to serve the community, is to serve. And if we have a servant's heart, and if we're true to that, and if we're genuine, just like what Brother McCool said, the doors are going to be wide open. So that was awesome. Thank you so much for being on the call for sharing your passion and vision with us. Our last speaker tonight is a good friend of mine, and our next speaker goes by the name of Randy Mockaby. And this is a great guy. We've had him on this podcast before, but it's so good to have him again tonight. And Randy right now is a children's pastor in the city of Morgantown, West Virginia, and he's been involved in kids' ministry since 1986. He started evangelizing around 2000, and he's served as a kids' pastor, a kids' ministry director in 6 churches in 3 states, and he is married and he has 2 children. Randy, thank you so much for being on the call tonight.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Well, Randy, I want to say thank you for being on the call. And anyone that has been involved in your kids' ministry, anyone that has seen you in action, knows that one of your staples, if you will, in your kids' ministry is media and technology. And I myself, I'm not very techie at all. You know, I can't really, you know, I can use my computer to get on Facebook. That's about it. But, you know, your ministry is very unique in that as soon as kids walk in, you use videos, you use visual effects, there's lights, there's all kinds of stuff happening. So it's pretty amazing. So, Randy, kind of tell us a little bit about what you do, and also tell us why is it important for us to use media and visual effects in children's ministry?
I'd be glad to. First of all, I'd like to kind of dovetail from Brother McCool, just kind of touch on a point he mentioned about how they are reaching into the community and approaching them in a different approach, and how the church is being viewed in a different aspect today, because we're like that too, and I'm seeing it everywhere. And I really think what he said there, as far as how we don't go into an organization and say, "We're here to, you know, get your kids to come to our church. We're here to service you." And that, to me, is you know, what we're trying to do here in Morgantown. I see it all over the place now, and it's very crucial, I think, as a church and children's ministry or youth, that's how we approach our communities. And it's just an ongoing thing. I was in Kinston, North Carolina on Palm Sunday, and the pastor there, Brother Sellers, has been doing working with the Boys and Girls Club in his town, I think, for like 5 or 6 years, and he has this every Palm Sunday, and the Boys and Girls Club comes to his church because that's the way they wanted to set it up. And he opened their church up to them, and they packed the house out, having almost 300 kids there, multicultural, and we have an awesome time. But I really like what he said about that. But to talk about the multimedia and the importance of it, and that's the key word, is the importance of it, is I think it is important in children's ministry, because that's the day we live in. and even our children in our Connects Kidmen class here, Kids Church, at the age of 10 or 11 years, they're bringing their own iPhones or tablets. Media is just a part of life nowadays. And I in no way endorse and say that if your kids' church doesn't have a multimedia system, video and lights, that it's going to fail. That is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it is relevant to kids. They pick up on it. Now, you can have just as a successful kids' ministry or evangelism without it as, you know, anything else. But the word multimedia, of course, multi is many, and media is a mass tool of communication. And the term multimedia today is pretty much, when you say multimedia, you automatically think video. And that's not really what it means. It encompasses everything. And it encompasses printed, written material, audio, internet, puppets, flannel graph. All that stuff is multimedia. They're all forms of communication. And I just don't think that it's something that needs to be ignored, because when I first started evangelizing with the video and whatnot, and a lot of eyebrows raised at me and things and whatnot, and people didn't want that, you know, active in their church. They didn't want me to come because of that, but that's fine. Each his own. But with the way kids are growing up today and with all the video that they're exposed to, I believe it's real important that we try to add an element to it, maybe a little bit here and there. It's in our sanctuaries. We use it with our music and our announcements. And why should all the adults have all the fun? Let's put it in our kids' church, you know, and apply it and get it on their level and use it. It can be a very powerful tool, without a doubt. And there's benefits to it. I mean, obviously, it enhances learning experiences. Talk to any school, how they use multimedia, how it's helping them. One of the benefits is it makes learning situated and personal. And number two, it can encourage collaboration and feedback. And when I say that, I mean I use a game show software that we kind of imitate at a game show, and it brings out a puzzle or whatever, and we can the answer to the puzzle could be something relevant to the Bible verse of the lesson that's getting ready to come up right after that. So it gets them interactive. It gets them on track, sees them on track, leads them to where I'm going. And the benefits of multimedia also, they enables visualization of concepts and other connections. In other words, it assists with our delivery. And anyone who works in kids ministry, we're easily distracted, because sometimes kids, you know, are chasing squirrels. And we find ourselves chasing squirrels, too, when we're trying to teach kids. Using the video and media at certain points really helps hone them in, because that's the way they're growing up. Go anywhere, go to a doctor's office, and there's a corner where there's a video of cartoons playing. Well, boom, they're on it. They're paying attention to it. And, you know, using that tool, you know, in our kids' ministry can be just as effective at times whenever there's a time where they're getting rowdy. Hey, you know, we have this next segment here. There's a little short video clip on here, and boom, they're paying attention. I got them on track where I want them to go. And it helps with us as teacher, helps with our delivery and bringing the crowd to where we want to take them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you just gave us a lot of, you know, good reasons. And I totally agree with you. You know, this is the day and age that we live in. There's no doubt about it. You know, the kids are growing up, you know, with technology right in front of them. And soon, you know, there's going to be a generation that, you know, has grown up with the internet, you know, from birth. And so, you know, that's what's happening. And so I totally agree with that. Now, help us out, Randy, because I think that with the talk of technology, you know, with the talk of multimedia and the importance of it, there's also kind of an undercurrent of a discussion that needs to be made as well. And people, you know, have questions, I'm sure, about this. And that is this: how do we balance being entertainers and being ministers? Because I believe that part of what we do, yes, we are entertaining, we are connecting. You know, we want kids to laugh, we want kids to have fun. But we're doing it for the purpose of introducing them to God. So give us some tips on how and some things that we can do, you know, whether it be in our spiritual walk with God or just some practical things that we can do to balance with not just entertaining but ministering with technology as well.
That is has been a fear, and it's still out there, maybe not as much, that whenever they see someone using media like that, they think, oh, you're just an entertainer. Well, you know, okay. Anyone standing behind a pulpit preaching, and no disrespect here, you know, you're an encouraging speaker up there. You're a motivational speaker, but you're not motivating through just secular terms. You're motivating people through the Word of God. Well, I'm doing the same thing with media. You know, I'm just using a different avenue, a different vehicle. The balance that we can keep between or the between entertainers and ministers is, I guess, what my pastor told me in a letter here not too long ago: be the lion tamer. You know, learn how to crack the whip, learn how to control the vehicle and the tool that you're using. And if I look at media as a lion, and if I keep it in control and I tame it, you know, it's going to work for me. It's going to do what I want it to do. If I let it control and take care of it, it'll rule me. And there was a time in my ministry when I was evangelizing that, you know, it seemed like I let media just consume me and let it do the whole thing. And I was kind of like that in a way. I was kind of more of an entertainer, and I seen things not getting done, and, you know, out in their field. And I, you know, quickly made a change on that and checked myself and made that change and learned to control these things. Now, we don't have to use the media in everything, in every aspect, every segment. It can just be at certain key points, but you know, using this tool to direct us to the Word and to the message we want to, it'll work for us. Just like you can have the same problem with being a puppeteer, doing magic tricks. Illusions. Sorry. do magic tricks. Anything that you use, you know, if you don't control it right, you know, you can look more of an entertainer than more of a minister. So we just keep the Word of God and make it all focused for the purpose of the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's, you know, very true. And it's very important to remember that, you know, at the end of everything that we do, what we're doing, yes, is we want kids to have fun. We want kids to have a good time, but we're teaching them the Word of God. And, you know, we're introducing them to God's Spirit and to a relationship with God. So that's very true. It's just basically just keep the Word of God the focus. That's what it's about. Randy, I know there's some kids ministers and Sunday school teachers that are listening tonight that maybe they might not come from a church that has a lot of resources, or maybe, you know, where their kids' room is at, where they have their kids' services. Maybe they feel like they don't have a lot of room or a lot of things to work with. What are some basic things that children's ministers can use this Sunday or in just a couple of weeks? What are some basic things that we can use with multimedia and maybe not having a lot of resources to be effective? What are some practical steps we can take in using multimedia to teach children the Word of God?
Okay, that's all kinds of answers for that one. I'll do this because it's the first thing come to mind. I'm going to warn you because some people may not want to do this, but I do this. It's very effective. And I do this because we get a lot of visitor kids, and ultimately we want to reach these new visitor kids that come into our church. And everyone knows Toy Story. This is what I've recently done. There's on YouTube, you can find all kind of short 2-minute clips, 3-minute clips of all these Disney cartoons that kids like. They're familiar with, they connect with. It's, you know, it's on their level, it's relevant to them. And I took this 3-minute clip off of Toy Story 1, and it was at the very end where Sid, the bad kid here, was tearing up toys, getting ready to tear up Woody and Buzz Lightyear. It's towards the end there, and how the toys grouped together and got out of that situation. I took that story, and I went parallel with it, with the Word of God, and I called it Take the Sin Out of Your Life, and I had the word Sid, the name Sid of that boy, crossed out and replaced it with the word sin. And I used the toys, and I said, kids, you're just like these toys that found themselves in Sid's yard and found themselves in Sid's bedroom in an environment where they knew they didn't need to be at, where everything was destructive to a toy, that if a toy entered Sid's room, that toy was going to get mutilated and torn up and abused and destroyed. And I said, that's just the way we are. If we find ourselves in an environment at school, in our neighborhood, in a place where we know we shouldn't be, sin does the same thing to us. It begins to take control of us, and we become a slave to sin. And we use the scripture in Book of Romans and how we are no longer a slave to sin, but we're a servant to righteousness. And I used that little clip there, 3 minutes, and we stopped it, and I started talking about that Bible verse, and I used that same parallel I just told you, and I brought what they already know, what they connect with, that I had their attention, and I had them in the palm of my hand. And they just sit there, listen attentively. And the next thing you know, after I go through the parallel, and start, we got them up at the altar praying that, you know, I want the sin. I don't want to be in an environment and a situation where sin is tearing my life. And some kids probably relate to that. Maybe they find themselves in a situation at home where they're being abused, and they feel just like a toy in Sid's room that's being physically abused. And now I've got on their level and communicating with them, say, hey, you know what? You can get out of this just like the toys did in that little video clip. And I can, you know, turn that whole thing around and say, there is a way to get out of there. There is a victory in this, just like it was in a cartoon that you watched so many times that you already know spiritually the same result is for you if you want it to happen.
Wow, that's great. And I love that. You're using an example, you know, something that kids know, something that kids see, and they automatically they jump on, they relate to. And what's great is you just seamlessly related that to the Word of God. And you've done that in a way, you know, that is very effective. So so with that, you know, so Randy, with that, would you say it's safe to say for teachers, you know, if they wanted to use technology in a way that's effective, you know, to maybe look up things on YouTube or things that kids can relate to and use that in teaching Bible stories?
Yeah, I mean, there's even Bible story cartoons on there for 2 and 3 minute clips you can take off and use to go along with your story if you want to keep it simple. The little app games that kids play, you know, Angry Birds and Bejeweled and Unbedazzled or whatever you call it, the Candy Crush, there's all types of games out there that kids are playing with that if you just look at the storyline and the way the game is played, it's right in front of our faces that there's a parallel that we can teach kids. You know, with these games that they're playing and use their icons, use those pictures and props and you know, connect with their kids that way and then turn it around and say, here's what the Bible says. You know, it's almost like the game you're playing, you know. So there's all types of things all around us with the media stuff out there. It's just there's so much to work with. There really is.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, Randy, thank you so much for being on the call. Before you get off, before we end the call tonight, tell us a little bit about a site you just started called The Pool. What is The Pool?
The Pool is a website with probably the most obscure subdomain at the end of it. It's www.thepool, P-O-O-L, like a swimming pool, dot name, like the name of Jesus. And what it is extension of my ministry. We're trying to put in some Pentecostal content in there that's all relevant to kids' ministry. And everything from digital downloads to simple little lessons, doing a lot of video work and things like that, and resources. And it's just started here about a year ago, and we're really reaching out, trying to contact other people working in kids ministry that want to contribute and put ideas in there. We're no group publishing by no means, but, you know, hey, we're going to shoot for the stars. We want everything in there, Pentecostal content, all kids ministry, all the way through it, for kids ministers, for kids. And it's just it's a big effort that we're working together to put together. And we're hoping to be at General Conference this year with our own booth. It looks like it's going to happen. And we just want you to go there, look at it. You'll see a lot of activity on our Facebook page, mainly. That's where we're doing a lot of the activity now. So if you go to pool.name, and you'll see the link to Facebook. There's content on the website and on the Facebook site, as well as the digital download store.
Awesome. And I've been on the site myself, and it's a great site, and especially the Facebook, like Randy said, there's all kinds of awesome ideas. People are posting all the time, whether it be creating a, you know, kids' environments, kids' rooms. There's all kinds of cool stuff on there, so definitely check it out. So,
and there's a really, really neat video on there. It's got you on there, too.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say that. Well, you know.
They got to see that.
Oh, man, that was fun. That was a good time. Well, Randy, thank you so much for being on the call tonight. And I want to say again thank you to Jerry and Nicole for both of these awesome guys being on the call. Thank you so much for sharing your passion and your vision for kids ministry. And, again, thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to everyone that's listened faithfully, whether it be on the calls or on our podcast. And we are averaging over 120 listeners every podcast. And so please keep listening to us, whether it be on iTunes under Kinetic Podcasts, or you can go to our website, kineticcall.podomatic.com, kineticcall.podomatic.com. And we're also on Twitter at Kinetic Call and Facebook under Kinetic. So thank you again for everyone for being on the call, and may God bless you all in reaching our kids. Until next time, I'm Josh Combs and with Rick Crouch. Thank you again. God bless.